Matthew chapter 1 is what I'm looking this morning. We've already looked in Luke 2 this morning, Sunday school. I really don't need to read all of this from 18 to 25, but I'm going to just because it's Christmas Sunday. I could shorten it, but it's Christmas. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now the prophet that was speaking that back in the Old Testament said, Immanuel. And the Hebrew translation for that, a little bit different, doesn't really mean any different, but just a little bit different. With us is God. With us is God. God with us. Continuing our reading now, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Emmanuel. God with us. God with us in human flesh. Born, laid in that manger, walked the earth, taught and talked. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John's giving record here that Jesus was made flesh, that he dwelt among them, that they witnessed his glory. Now, if you spend a little bit of time thinking about that and reading about that, you understand that John was giving to his hearers, he was giving an understanding to even to us today that he recognized that Jesus was made flesh, that he literally dwelt among them, and he dwells among us, and they saw. Do you remember how John saw his glory? John saw the glory of his miracles, the glory of his message, but we also have a greater understanding of what John was speaking of when he literally saw Jesus transfigured in front of them. That glory was phenomenal. That glory was beyond anything that John had ever experienced before. And he's trying to somehow put it into a few words right here. We beheld his glory. They witnessed his glory. God with us. In presence as well as in his majestic glory. Jesus came to bring God to mankind. He was bringing God to mankind in an effort to restore the relationship of Eden. You remember the Garden of Eden and that relationship that God had with his creation? When he came to walk with them and to talk with them, Jesus came to restore that God with us relationship. That relationship of Eden was broken because of sin. You can look around you and any of the problems that exist today are in existence because of that broken relationship. All of the consequences, all of the negative consequences to people's choices and decisions are there because of sin. Facebook is full. It's full of people with their heartaches and heartbreaks at Christmas time. Maybe it's just standing out because it's Christmas time and we think about Christmas being a time of peace and joy and exuberance. It's a great time. There's a lot of celebration that goes in. There's a lot of hurting people, and those hurting people, with all of their problems and all of their things, they are there. Those problems exist as consequence to choices made in sin. Sin broke that relationship. Now, Oswald Chambers tells us, and I quote, "The Bible looks on sin not as a disease, but as red-handed rebellion against the domination of the Creator." Red-handed rebellion against the domination of the Creator. The essence of sin is, I won't allow anybody to boss me, saving myself. And it may manifest itself in a morally good man as well as in a morally bad man. Sin has not to do with morality or immorality. It has to do with my claim to my right to myself, a deliberate and emphatic independence of God, though I veneer it over with Christian phraseology. Now, that's a powerful statement in the definition or the defining element of what sin is and how it has broken our relationship with God. But the thing is, we can veneer our situation not only with phraseology, but with a whole bunch of other stuff. We can still be self-centered, that right to myself, that claim to the right to myself, that deliberate and emphatic independence from God can be veneered with all sorts of claims. In Matthew's gospel, he records there, she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let's go over to John's Gospel, chapter number 1, for a little bit. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 19. This is the testimony of John. The priests were sent out to him. The Levites were sent out to him from Jerusalem, and they were asking him questions, and they wanted to know some things about this John the Baptist. For instance, they wanted to know who he was. John, who are you? Now the scripture tells us that he confessed to them. He didn't try to put on any kind of special airs. He just simply confessed to them, I am not the Christ. That's a pretty good statement from John. I am not the Christ. Now, if we go down just a little bit further, we can see that kind of confused them, if not even angered them, because John was doing some things that they disagreed with. And so they began to ask him further, then why are you baptizing? If you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, you're not the prophet, why are you doing these things? And John answered them very simply, I'm simply baptizing you with water, but there is one who is among us, who is among you, he said, that you don't even recognize yet. But this one who is among you, he comes after me. I'm only a forerunner to this one that's coming after me. And this one that comes after me, I'm not even worthy to unlace his sandals. Now, John was a pretty powerful speaker of his day. He had quite a following. He actually had some disciples. But it never went to his head. He didn't get the swelled head over it. He was simply recognizing that he was merely a forerunner to this one that was to come, who was already present among them. He just wasn't revealed yet, and he wasn't worthy to unlace his shoes, his sandals. It's quite a testimony here. Now you get down just a little bit further in that chapter, and we find several hours transition, because in verse 29 it says the next day. So now in verse 29, there's been some hours that have gone by, and the next day Jesus is walking towards him. You know that verse, don't you? And John cries out, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He said, this is who I was telling you about yesterday. This is he. Somebody said that the life of Christ is bookended between the cradle and the cross. The bookends of his life are the cradle and the cross. Boy, we really do a good job celebrating the cradle. It's a fantastic time of the year. Great celebration. We could say that this celebration of the cradle is full of fanfare, flowing finances, and fantastic family fun. Fanfare. There's Christmas parties, there's Christmas gatherings, there's Christmas programs, there's Christmas lights and Christmas decorations and Christmas trees and all sorts of things that share in our thinking and in our mind of this fanfare of the celebration. But then there's also a whole bunch of flowing finances. Some people spend tens of dollars and hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars. Well, there's just something about Christmas that loosens the purse strings. A friend of mine posted a picture of his new car, Christmas, Merry Christmas from me to me. I think it was a Lexus. Brand new, it looked like. Oh, how many tens of thousands of dollars? Flowing finances. What about fantastic family fun? Oh, look at the servants as they travel for miles to come in for the fun of the family. And no blame for it whatsoever. That is a tremendous thing for them to be able to do. The miles just seem to slip away. They are non-existent when it comes to this family time at Christmas. How many of you others will be traveling any distance whatsoever to go to family during this season of celebration? It's great. Emmanuel, God with us, for he shall save his people from their sins, the cradle and the cross. You see, Christ hung suspended between earth and heaven, bearing our sins, carrying our punishment of sin and rebellion against the Creator. He became the blood sacrifice for all sin. All sin. Not only was he the blood sacrifice for sin, but he was also the high priest, taking the blood of that sacrifice to the great mercy seat. And in the process, the rending of the veil that separated common man from the inner sanctum of God's presence, so that it could truly be said again, God with us. Oh, I know they had God's presence. They had His Shekinah. They had the pillar of cloud. They had the pillar of fire. They had those things. But the separating of the veil opened up a whole new window that they had never had before, where God was with them. For He shall save His people from their sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Who? Story's been told in Scripture of the 100 sheep in the fold, and one of them was out wandering somewhere in the darkness, and the shepherd left the 99 and went out to find that one lost sheep. Who is it that could be represented in that one lost sheep? Well, it could be said that the shepherds were the first to hear the story of the Messiah being born. The shepherds, they were the lowest of the low in that culture, in that society. They had the least amount of dignity. They had the least amount of social standing. They didn't have anything that would be of any value earthly, except that they took care of the flocks of sheep, which were very necessary in that culture. But that's all that they had to offer. The shepherds were the first to hear. Peter was one of the first to be called. Peter. Who was Peter? He was a filthy, foul-mouthed man. Debauched. Sinful. Disgustingly sinful. He was one of the first to be called. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the shepherds and Peter's. And we're talking about the thief on the cross was one of the first to experience the reward of heaven. The criminal, worthy of his punishment of death, acknowledging that he was worthy, his life was worthy of death. But here he is, one of the first to be the recipients of this great salvation. You see, it doesn't matter who the preacher is that's officiating your funeral. It doesn't even matter if that preacher proclaims that you made it to heaven. What matters is, have you received His gift of salvation for yourself? Have you confessed your sins? It matters that you have experienced the new birth that Jesus explained to Nicodemus. It matters that you have become a new creature in Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Paul tells us about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It matters that you walk daily with Him, experiencing the fullness of Emmanuel, God with you. And the angel said unto them in Luke chapter 2, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel, God with you. For he shall save his people from their sins. One preacher I heard just this week said that Christmas is for everyone. The Savior has come. He came to provide us the greatest of Christmas gifts ever. The gift of salvation. Have you received that gift? If not, receive it now. Receive it now. He stands ready to give you his gift of salvation. The new birth, a new life, and a recipient of his grace. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise God. I'm glad the Savior has come. I'm glad the Savior has come. There's a few amens. I'm glad the Savior has come. Praise God. Merry Christmas to all. And again, if you haven't received his gift, receive it. Receive it. Confess your sins. Receive his forgiveness. And be made new in Christ. Praise his name. Praise his name. Anybody need to pray this morning? The altar's open. Don't in any way want to push anybody out. Pray and receive that gift this morning. Praise God. Kate Davis, would you dismiss us in prayer?